Hallelujah. Well, busyness, but in a good way. I called Homer in the middle of the day about noon and said, how about teaching tonight? How about, have you got something? And he goes, what? What? I said, yeah, I got my time in pretty much this morning. And I'm good to go, but I said, I'm doing a lot of other stuff right now. And I'm doing some spiritual things. I'm trying to get some stuff accomplished. And I said, what about it? And he goes, well, yeah. I said, instant, in season and out. You're supposed to, you know, use the word. Use the word. So let's welcome Homer tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Get this mic that was drenched, and I think it's undrenched now. And his beautiful wife, is this the one you guys want him to use? The one? Okay. Hallelujah. Homer, you've got a really nice crowd, and Alex is here, Renee is here, and Carl is here. And we were talking about before service how you address people and say, you know, in your messages, which is great, like you'll refer to people. And Robert told me, he said, he never refers to me. He goes, I don't know what kind of status I have to get to.
We'll
so tonight,
it.
Would you fix it?
We'll fix
okay,
it.
Here you go. Thanks a lot, Homer.
Love you, Robert. Hallelujah. A little bit. Hallelujah. So what do you tell your pastor when he calls you at 12 o'clock? You want to preach? No. We tell him, no. He said, in season, out season. Now, he's usually real good. He'll usually give me 2 or 3 days advance. Today, he gave me a couple hours advance. But that's okay, though, because if I wake up in the morning and spend time with Jesus, I better have something. That's the least. I know I'm instructed of the Holy Ghost to stay off rabbit trails, to preach the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom. I'm going to try to cut my analogies to a minimal and preach Jesus and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because Paul said in Romans 1 that said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said it is the power, Greek word dunamis, it is the power. I think it was Marty that said, or Pastor Bonk that said 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the church, the corporate church, I'm not calling it no churches out by name. I won't do that. The church in general, we've gotten used to a powerless gospel. It's just the norm. We, the corporate body of Christ, it's just the norm that it's a gospel of words. If that is our doctrine, then we are calling the Holy Ghost and the Lamb of God and the Father a liar. Paul recorded, he took dictation from the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power, the dunamis of God unto salvation. Greek word salvation, soterion. It is deliverance from moral and from physical harm. It is the power of God. If I believe this gospel, these eyes can open. If I believe this gospel, if you can believe this gospel, we will never be the same. But you can't believe it unless you read it. You've got to let this book consume you, man. Consume you. We're so used to being defeated now, in the week coming, we expect the same defeat because we've yet to allow this book to just saturate our senses. We struggle as the world struggles, but we got the gospel. You see, it is the power, the dunamis of God unto salvation, unto soteria is the Greek word. It delivers you morally and physically. There is no PS, post-traumatic stress syndrome. There's no anxiety. There is no blind eyes in the kingdom of God. They don't exist. We just have yet to believe the gospel of the kingdom. We have to saturate ourselves with this book. I mean, saturate ourselves with it. we're struggling with the same things that the world struggles with when we have the gospel. We have Christ in us. If you believe the gospel, Christ is revealed inside of you. You are born again. You are born again. There's got to be a difference between us and the world. There has to be. If I die blind, I don't plan to die blind. I plan to live a long life. It won't be because it was the gospel's fault that I can't see. I will never, if I'm on my deathbed, I will never tell Pastor Brown, well, Pastor, just wasn't God's will to open my eyes. That would be a lie. That would be heresy. The gospel is the power, the dunamis of God unto salvation. These eyes are to open according to the gospel. That's not an opinion. That's not heresy. That's not a narrative. That's not an ideology. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Period. Amen, Robert? Yeah. Amen, Robert, again? I'm going to wear you out today, buddy. I can't preach that long because, first of all, Nathaniel's feeling says here, she says, I preached too long, so I got to cut it short for her sake. And then I got to cut it short for Sister Utica because Delia is here. She goes to sleep all the time. So I got to cut it short for her. And then Nigel calls me Mr. 9 o'clock. That's what Nigel called me in Connecticut, Pastor. He said, hey, Mr. 9 o'clock. I said, Mr. 9 o'clock? What do you mean? You always preach till 9 o'clock. And I said, he's right. So today, Nathaniel said, Dad, I love the way you preach. Go till 9:30. No. So we're going to be out of here today probably by 8:30 because Pastor Bronk is right. It's a long day for some of you guys. You guys work and, you know, you get tired. So we'll try to be out here by 8:30. Amen? But the Lord's had me in the Gospels, consuming the Gospels, a little bit of Philippians. You know, the kingdom of God is a matter of the heart. It's Jesus said in Matthew 5, teaching on the mount, he said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. I tell you the one that touched my fancy a little bit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I've been going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Some of you might say, well, Gary's got a wonderful teaching on that. I'm sure he does. But I want to see what God is showing me for myself. I've heard Gary's. Just because I can remember what Gary said does not mean Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is alive inside of me. It's got to burn inside of me. Burn. And I've been going through it for a couple of weeks, just going through it. It is a powerful portion of Scripture. Powerful. It seems to be the first extended teaching that Christ preached, or at least that's documented in the Gospels. The first major extended teaching that he did. And really, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, he said, after this manner pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we forget our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He said, after this manner pray ye. Let's establish something right now. And I believe the gospel, I think you'll agree with me, if you go through the gospels and through the lifestyle of the apostles, when they preached the word, signs and wonders followed. In conjunction to this being taught with this, in conjunction, there were signs and wonders. I don't think they can be separated. They cannot be in conjunction. He taught the gospel and he healed the sick. To me, that's one thought. You cannot separate the two. The church has tried. The corporate church has tried. But that's not the image that I see in the scripture. I don't see that image. So saying that, without going on rabbit trails, let me go to, just you don't have to turn there, to Matthew 12, verse 49 and 50. I'm going to paraphrase them. And I'm saying this to set something up so you can get it through your mind. I believe the gospel is about the sayings of the kingdom and the power and display of the kingdom. If you think the gospel is just preaching of words, you are 1,000% in error. 1,000,000% in error. Now, just because that's really all the church has does not mean that's factual or truth. Read the Gospels. Go through Acts. So I know I can use this terminology that the gospel is dualistic, power and word, but really it's dualistic, but it's not because it's one thought. They're in conjunction. Do you see that image in the Word of God? Okay. Matthew 12, verse 49 and 50. I'm just looking to set something up here. I'm not going to teach anything out of it. I want you to see something. Jesus said, or they told Jesus, your brother, your mother, and your brethren are outside without desiring to see thee. He said, looked at him and pointed to his disciples. He pointed to his disciples and said, my brethren and my mother are those that do the will of my Father. What? That is in heaven. That is my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. Jesus, they're outside, and your mother and your biological brothers, they want to talk to you. He pointed towards his disciples. He said, my brother, my sisters, and my mother are those that do the will of God, which is in heaven. Which do the will of God, which is in heaven. He said it. He established it. Which do the will of God in heaven. Remember, we established together that the gospel is dualistic. Really, it's not the right word to say, but for teaching purposes, I'm going somewhere with it. In other words, it's one thought. The power and the sayings of the kingdom go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. He said, my brother, my mother, and my sisters are they that do the will of God, which is in heaven. He said, they do the will of God, which is in heaven. Oh, Scarty, you better settle down. They do the will of God, which is in heaven. Amen, Robert? Amen. All right, so I want to make sure. That's Matthew 12, 49 and 50. That do the will of God, that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. It's pretty simplistic. You go to the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus said, after this manner pray ye. Now the apostles never prayed for the sick. They spoke the word, and they were healed. Before Jesus said, after this manner, pray, he said, there's hypocrites. The word hypocrite in the Greek is the word actor. They're actors. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. But they pray in vain. The hypocrites, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees thought that by their articulation in front of people that God would hear them. But Jesus said, they're actors. That's all they are. They're just actors. First of all, I don't care how well they articulated, they were actors. And there's no way their prayer could have been heard because they were heathens. So they didn't have a heavenly Father that would answer their prayer. Are you with me? They didn't do the will of the Father in heaven. Are you with me? Matthew 12, 49 and 50. Those that do the will of my Father in heaven, those are my brothers And those are my sisters. Those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, they are my brothers and my sisters. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, they were actors. They didn't love God. They didn't love people, but they thought that for their much articulation that they would be heard and their prayers would be answered. Their prayers were in vain because they were boasting in front of man, but at the same time, they were in vain because their prayers weren't being heard by the Father because they didn't believe that he existed because they didn't believe in Jesus. That's another reason they were vain. He said, after this manner, pray ye. He said, don't pray like the hypocrites. They're actors. They pray in vain. They think because of their much speaking that they will be heard. They don't even have a heavenly Father. They're actors. But after this manner, pray ye. Family person or mockery, after this manner, pray ye. Now, to me, let me finish this sermon before you comment in your heart. He said, after this manner, pray ye. There's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. That's fine. We can pray it. I pray it many times. But to me, he's saying, if you're going to pray, let the disposition of your heart be that of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. He said, let your disposition be that you're going to hear the gospel and you're going to keep it. After this manner, pray ye, family center. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. If he's my Father and he's in heaven, that means his will is in heaven. If he's my Father and he's in heaven, then I'm his what here on earth? If he's my Father in heaven, then I'm his what here on earth? His son. I am his son here on earth. Remember I said that the gospel is dualistic. It's word and it's power. It's in conjunction with each other. You can't separate them. But most of the time, the Lord's Prayer is the corporate. I ask five or six different people that I know what the Lord's Prayer meant to them. Can you break down the Lord's Prayer? Just hear what people said. Jesus said, after this manner, pray ye. Our Father who art in heaven, holy Father, holy, holy, holy is your name. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you. I thank you. If my Father is in heaven and he is holy and I'm his child here on earth, then what manner of life should I be living here on earth? A holy lifestyle. But it's always taught. It's always, every time I hear it, even on TV sometimes, it's referring to miracles. It's referring to the power of God. It's referring to the supernatural. And that's not wrong. That is not wrong. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no cancer in heaven. There are no AIDS in heaven. You know what else there's not in heaven? There's no malice in heaven. There's no unforgiveness in heaven. There's no hatred in heaven. There's no Democratic Party or Republican Party in heaven. We're all children of God. He said, when you pray, he didn't say, follow this prayer as your God. He said, no, let the disposition of your heart, when you pray this prayer, let your heart be as one that's keeping Matthew 5, 6, and 7. When you pray with that disposition, when you pray living a kingdom lifestyle, that's what the prayer means. It doesn't say per se, say this over and over again. And don't just esteem that prayer as one talking about the supernatural or miracles. Yes, it can be used in that context. It can. But Jesus said this, don't be like the Pharisees. They pray in vain. They don't even have a Father. They're actors. You, when you pray, you better not be an actor. You have a Father in heaven. And if your Father is in heaven, then you are His child here on earth. And if your Father in heaven is holy, you better be praying in a holy, with a holy lifestyle. He said, our Father which art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we have friends, brothers in Christ, that preach, well, if it's God's will, we need to pray. If it's your will, then you will heal this person. If we pray that it's, if it's your will, Lord, you'll heal this person. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if it be your will, Lord, heal Homer. Open up Homer's eyes. If it be your will, Homer. That's not what he said. If he would have said that, then he would have phrased it like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is thy name. If thy will be, thy kingdom come in earth as in heaven. That's not what he said. He said, if it be your will, thy kingdom come. No, 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 no. He said, your will is that thy kingdom come. That's your will. They say, they teach it different, but in essence, this is what they're saying, that the prayer says, our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. If it be your will, thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. That is not what he said. His will came after his kingdom came. When the finger of God was used to cast out a devil, he said, if I cast out the devil by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. That's the kingdom. He didn't say, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. If it be your will, your kingdom come. He said, your will is that it come every single time. So he's saying, in this manner pray, with the disposition of your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Kingdom of God is a lifestyle of purity. Pastor Days, I was so amazed at the love that he walked in. Pastor Dave, you're always walking in peace all the time. What do you do, man? He said, with his weird old face, you know, he makes him face goes all crazy. Homer, I don't know if he said both our names. I don't know what he said. He said, I have aught with no one. Homer, Miss Candy, Carl, after this manner, pray ye. When you pray, have no aught in your heart. The good you want someone to do to you, Homer? Are you doing the same before you pray? Homer, your enemies that hate you, are you praying and doing good and lending to them while you pray? Is that your disposition? Is that the posture of your heart? Matthew 7, judge not lest ye be judged. We know that as Christians, we can judge each other. According to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians I think it's chapter 5 or 6, we can judge each other if we're not doing the same thing. I can tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, Robert. Come on, Robert. You know better than that, Robert. You just, Robert. Or if somebody does me wrong, a person that hates me, I know that I'm judging the person that does me wrong when I don't pray, when I don't do good, and when I don't lend. If that's not my disposition towards that person, I am judging them. I want my hand wrapped around their throat. Completely disannulling the fact that at one time in my life, I owed 10,000 talents. I had a debt that I could not repay. So I want to choke you in your neck. I want to tell you about yourself in front of the congregation. I want to talk about you to the world, forgetting that I at one time owed 10,000 talents. You fool. If that's my disposition, don't worry about your prayer being answered. If I'm not doing to you what I want you to do to me according to the scripture, don't worry about answered prayer. Don't worry about it. If you're not loving your enemy, don't worry about it. Just like the Pharisees prayed in vanity, so are we praying in vanity. You know, I am a stickler for sound doctrine and to the day I die, but I've had sound doctrine, right doctrine, but my heart not be right. That's dangerous, man. That's been the pride of my life at times, but the Lord is dealing me right now to watch what I'm allowed to be mean to Miss Candy. I'm allowed to be mean to her. Her and Daddy, I'm allowed to be mean to them. And trust me, she's allowed to be mean to me too. It's been amazing. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We've esteemed the will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. God's will isn't done in heaven. God's will is in heaven. And what's in heaven is to be here on earth. Yes, it's the power of God. Yes, it's the supernatural, but it's also the will of the Father, which is in heaven, which are his sayings. You won't get the power till you're consumed by the sayings. My Father in heaven, I love you. I worship you. You're holy in heaven. I'm your child here on earth. Thy kingdom come, Father. Thy will be done. That will be done in earth as in heaven. The will that he's also referencing is, Lord, may I be consumed by Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Lord, when my heart is pure before you, my prayers will be answered. Whatever I ask is going to come to pass because my heart is pure. The word pure in the Greek means clear. Nothing in me, no obstruction in me whatsoever against Robert. You want me to stop? You see what I'm saying? Our Father who art in heaven, after this manner pray thee. Not per se the prayer, but the disposition of the heart. When you pray this prayer, when you pray before God, let your heart be right, man. Let it be pure. Let it be clear. No ought. None. Thy kingdom come. Yes, that includes the power of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. It would be heresy for me to say it didn't include that. But it would be heresy to say that it didn't include the other also. It includes the sayings, man. We can't walk in hate and see an outpouring of the Almighty God. We cannot read our Bible and expect to see the supernatural. I have heard, I'm going to say this, I'm going to use myself, I'm going to quote my own excuses. I've heard everything. Nobody knows who I'm talking about, not my mother, although she doesn't know she's with Jesus, not my wife, not Pastor Bronk. You think everything I hear about you that I tell Pastor Bronk? No, I don't. You're wrong. You're in error. I've heard every single excuse, and no one knows what I'm talking about. Well, I try to read a psalm a day. Nothing wrong with that. Don't talk about his kingdom come. Reading a psalm a day. I went to the Lord in prayer and he told me to pray 10 minutes. Amen for that. But we're not going to get to the next area in our life by those baby steps. It's not going to, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to be a good little boy and girl in God. You're going to be good. Goody, goody gumdrops. If you think one psalm is going to take you to the next level where we die daily, we are in error. Well, I haven't picked up my Bible in a week. Well, I haven't fasted, Pastor Bronk, because I had strokes a while back and I haven't fasted since then. I will eventually. No, eventually is now, man. I'm beating myself up, not beating myself up. I'm calling myself out. Those that say, I don't have time to pray, have been saying that for years. And the same ones that say, I don't have time to pray, are the same ones that are going to say the same thing next week. And the week after. And the week after. They're going to struggle with the same things every single week of their life. Because they're already defeated here. There's already a narrative in their mind of what they're not going to do next week because they are too busy. It's already there. It's locked in. It's cued. I've heard them all. I've heard them all. I've made them all. But I'm never, ever, ever going to get where the Holy Ghost wants me, not pushing back the plate. Habitually. Never. Never. Praying is nothing to me. Spending the day in prayer is, I don't even have to try. It's just natural to me. But it ought to be just as natural to push back the plate. Let's not kid ourselves. Talk of revival, it's glorious. It sounds good. But if we think one psalm a day is going to cut it, we think 10 minutes a day of prayer is going to cut it. Praise God for that, man. You think reading the Bible once a week is going to cut it? You're wrong. You're awesome. You're a child of God, and you're going to heaven, man. But if we want his kingdom to come fully here on this earth, it's going to take a commitment like never before. My Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. You're holy in heaven, Lord. I'm here on earth. I'm striving to keep the faith of the gospel, Jesus. That's the striving of my heart. Why? Because thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done. And I know that 10 minutes of prayer is not going to cut it. I know that one psalm a day is cute, but it ain't going to cut it. It's going to take my blood and my life, Lord, to get this done. Some of you saying, he's talking to me. Maybe. Maybe. But I promise you before Almighty God, no one knows who I'm talking about. No one. And that's the way it should be. I don't think Pastor Brown would be very fond of me if I told him who told me these things. He wouldn't want to hear it. I would. Now, who's that, Pastor Brown? Who's Robert? Oh, my God. I ain't going to say nothing, Pastor Brown. Thank you, thank you. Are you with me? He said, after this manner, pray ye. Let Matthew 5, 6, and 7 be the disposition of your heart. And when you pray, it's going to come to pass. Being a Christian is a heart affair. That's what he said. If you forgive not your brother, neither will your father forgive you. It's an affair of the heart. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And your prayer is not going to be answered. If you forgive and you have a pure heart, you're going to see God, man. He's going to move on your behalf because you're praying the prayer. You're praying in this manner. Your disposition is that one of kingdom living. Your disposition is, I want you to be glorified, Father. I want your kingdom to come. I lay my life down. Your sayings are paramount to me, Father. I'll do them. I found a pearl of great price. I'll read them. I'll consume them. Prayer is awesome to me, Lord. Giving you my life is what I live for. Father, give me the grace to give you more. That's got to be the disposition of our heart. And if that's the disposition of our heart, if we live kingdom lifestyle, if we strive for the faith of the gospel, it is going to happen. And I'm almost done, believe it or not. Sunday, Little Rabbit Trail. I heard Pastor Bronson's advice a while back about eating carbs and stuff before church, and I don't eat carbs. My wife does anyway. My wife does. So I just eat like an egg. Okay, I'll take a bite. But I usually just eat eggs because of my sugar level. I'll take two bites sometimes. Two bites. But, and I'll go on to the point here. We were sitting at Burger King before church. She wanted to go, really. I really didn't. And she knows that's true. We were there before we started eating and shorted two croissants and hash browns. She's real quiet, isn't she? You better not. But we were there in the parking lot. And just because she's my wife, I wasn't flirting with her. Now, you'll appreciate this. It's grown-up talk, but it's real clean. And I wasn't flirting with her. I wasn't making advances towards her. I kissed her. Just gave my wife a good old kiss. Why? She is my wife, and I love her. I could picture her so beautiful, and I kissed my wife just because I love her. Let that be a lesson to when you wake up in the morning. To kiss the Savior with an I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I'm going to sit in your presence for the next 30 minutes, hour, whatever it may be, just to sit at your feet, to be transformed into your image. I'm going to give myself to the Holy Ghost to change. I'm going to read your word. So that my faith would be built up. I'm going to worship your name. I'm going to confess your word. I'm going to fast, Lord, because I love you, Lord. And because people are dying in this country without Jesus, I pray to God that all the praying that we're doing, that it's producing some kind of compassion in you towards the lost. Don't just cry out revival if compassion for the lost does not burn in you, man. I'm a little bit more aggressive with my evangelism. Now, I definitely concur. I don't go around evangelizing saying, I want to pray for you, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to pay percentages with people. I won't do it. But I do witness. Wherever I'm at, I witness. I witness. If you won't lose your reward for giving somebody a cup of cold glass of water in the name of a disciple, I'm not going to lose my reward if I tell somebody about Jesus. Are we open to that? Is that this compassion. When I hear somebody that dies in an accident, I almost weep instantaneously. I say to myself, oh my God, I hope they knew Jesus. I see our government, both parties, man, Republican, my God, we need Jesus to move in our country and our government. Oh my God, we need it. Both parties need it. This country needs Jesus, man. Our inner city needs Jesus. The family unit needs Jesus because the nuclear family is being destroyed. And people think it's a way of life. We need to find Jesus like never, ever before. And don't go around saying God's going to do something. You know, I hear that all the time. God wants to do something new. No. We're going to do something new. But it's old to him. He's waiting for us to do something new. He's up to us. He's waiting for us to read more than one psalm a day. He's waiting for us to read the Bible more than once a week or pray 10 minutes a day in the Holy Ghost. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for people that are crazy. He's waiting for a bunch that loves their enemies. He's looking for a bunch that won't judge their enemies, that won't grab them by the throat. He's looking for a bunch that realize they once owed 10,000 talents. That's why they let bygones be bygones, because the blood of Jesus was their reparation. See, we judge somebody because we want restitution and what's the word I just used? And reparations. That's the reason you judge somebody. You want to choke their neck, man. You want to lay them down. You want them judged and you want them condemned and you want something done to them. Let the blood of Jesus be your reparation, man. Don't go to nobody else to talk about them. That's judging. You also be judged in like manner. You hypocrite. Don't judge somebody after Mosaic law. Don't do it. You're a good tree now. You're not a bad tree. Follow spiritual protocol. If they offend you, they're your enemy, and they hate you, do good, love, and lend. Be perfect like your Father, which isn't perfect. If you ask in that disposition, in that kingdom living, our prayers are going to be answered, and His kingdom is going to come. Are you with me? Talk to people about Jesus, man. They might reject you. At least you sowed a seed. Maybe you didn't. Paul sowed several seeds. Was rejected and killed for sowing seeds. If I give you a cup of cold water because you are a disciple, the Bible says, I won't lose my reward. Well, let me sow Jesus into your life. I darn sure won't lose my reward. Should have said, darn. Are you with me? I love what Pastor Bronk said the other day. It's good to put this word in your heart, but it's got to go from here to here, man. You're right, Robert. The gospel. The power of God unto salvation. The dunamis of God unto soteria. It delivers you from moral and physical pain and anguish and healing. It heals you. It can open up these blind eyes. First and foremost, if our heart is pure, not one word about someone. Within reason. You know what I mean by that? You don't have to tell your wife what somebody else did to you. You don't have to tell your mom or your dad what somebody else did to you. Shut up. And mom and dad, you don't have to listen. If you listen, you wanted to hear it. I've been guilty of that before. I've gotten so good at it, though, because one of my boys said to me, Dad, I go to church and these people, they only say hi to me. They expected to get a response from me. I said, well, do you say hi to them? No. I said, okay, end of conversation. Right? What other answer can I give? They don't say hi to you. Do you say hi to them? No, sir. End the conversation. The Bible says in Proverbs, and I'm winding down, he that has knowledge, he spares his words. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Listen to this one. Even a fool, when he shuts his mouth, is counted wise. Even a fool, man, when he shuts his mouth, is counted wise. A man that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. We can't afford to talk about anyone, much less harbor aught in our hearts, or else don't pray the Lord's Prayer. Don't expect your prayer to be answered if that's not the disposition of your heart. Nothing. Pastor Bronx always said, if you sin or you take an offense to someone, get under the blood real quick, man. Don't let nothing linger, man. It will develop like cancer. Proverbs says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. We don't just spit out words. The heart of the righteous, it studies to answer. Proverbs says, he that conceals a matter seeketh love. He that conceals a matter seeketh love, but he that repeateth it separateth very friends. We want more of God. We want to see his glory. I do, man. I do. I want to see so bad. I want to see my wife's beautiful face. I want to see my wife, my son's beautiful, mean Puerto Rican fiance to fight with her. I've never seen none of my granddaughters. But you know what? I still have peace because I read the gospel. What'd you do to her, Robert? Let me finish with this. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. He didn't say, if it be your will, your kingdom come. He said, your kingdom come. When it comes, that is your will. In earth. It don't say on earth. It says in earth as it is in heaven. God's will is not done in heaven. God's will is in heaven. We got to bring it here to earth. But make no mistake, we have to be consumed by his sayings. We have to pray without ceasing. It says that in several epistles. We got to renew our mind. We got to renovate our mind with God's word. We got to sell out like never, ever, ever before. When the disposition of our heart, or when the posture of our heart, or the posture or the lifestyle of kingdom living, or we realize that this word is a pearl of great. Do you know what this is, man? It's a pearl of great price. All that we need in life. This fixes marriages. This delivers crackheads. This will deliver you from being a whoremonger. This will change you because it is the power of God unto soteria. It does you no good not reading it. You got to consume it, man. Well, I don't have time. No, no, no. You don't want to have time. You don't want to have time. There is time. I have kids. I have a job. I worked for a multi-million dollar company, and I would wake up at 4 o'clock every morning and spend 3 hours with the Lord when I worked as a full-time district manager and an account manager. And you know what? At lunchtime, I'd go hide in the park, and I'd open it up and pray in the Holy Ghost. I'd go open it up. I would do 5 or 6 appointments a day to go meet with people. The appointment was at 12. I'd be there 11:45 early for 15 minutes. I could spend in the Word. Well, there's a will. There's a way, man. I'm not calling you a liar, but I'm just saying you're not telling the truth. That's one way to put it, right? Let me finish with this. The Lord's Prayer. After this manner, pray ye. Let Matthew 5, 6, and 7 be the disposition of your heart when you pray. When that is how you live, you will get results. It says in 1 John chapter 3, I'm quoting to you the word. If our heart condemn us not, listen to this. If our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. Listen to what he says. This is what John says. If our heart does not condemn us, or if we're living kingdom living and there's no ought in our heart, if our heart is pure, if it's clear, if we are loving people the way Jesus loved them, he said, if our heart condemn us not, 1 John chapter 3, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, listen, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. We should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Hereby we know that he abides in us and we in him, because he has given us of his Spirit. Every day, our love walk inside, we're being transformed every single day. It's easy up front to say no, to do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not fornicate, do not covet, love your neighbor. Initially, you can do that through regeneration. We're after the core, what wants us, what has us want to respond. Oh, not responding is good, but we're after the feeling of wanting to respond inside of us, because his commandments are not burdensome to us. But it's not going to be done outside of this and outside of him. We will never love our neighbors outside of him. Never. It's going to take more. And I'm not dogging you for the one psalm or the 10 minutes or that you haven't read the Bible in 3 weeks. No, I'm not. You're going to heaven. You're a good person. But don't claim revival and don't say amen to that talk without the prior. Notice, and I'm done for real. What time is it? Okay, I am going to be done. 8:29? When Pastor, I am going to be done here. When Pastor talks about revival, amen, amen, we amen. I do too. I stay real quiet in the back that we don't know if I'm praying or not. You can't figure me out. I'll just stay quiet in the back. I'm a good listener. I listen to every single word, man. I'm a great listener. And somebody from Texas talked to me the other day, and they picked up on this. We're amen and revival, and yes, and yes. God, we want to see the God's kingdom. We want to see it for what we do. I know you do too. We amen it and we'll cheer, yes. Then when Pastor Brock starts talking about habitual prayer, the amen cease. That smirk, that laugh, it's not there anymore. When he starts talking about reading the Bible habitually, they cease. When he starts talking about fasting, I leave. Believe it or not, we give ourselves away, don't we? And you know what I can say about him? He don't hold it against you. I might. Robert. I know we'll get to the point where there's nothing in our heart that wants to hurt anybody. If our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we will receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We pray, we fast, we read the Bible, we worship. Don't forget one vital thing that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 talked about. We're also to give alms to the poor. That is biblical. If I'm not a disciple, if I don't fast, then am I a disciple if I don't give alms? If I'm not a true disciple, if I don't pray consistently, if I'm not a true disciple, if I don't fast, then am I a true disciple if I don't get alms to the less needy? Let that sink in. Glory. You're a tough bunch. Even you, Robert. This is our disposition. This is the posture of our heart. We win. We can't stop. We can't stop. Amen. Amen. Pastor Bronk.
Hallelujah. Miracles never cease. Homer, you did good. You did real good. Hallelujah. So, I'm not going to stand up here and talk for the 30 minutes he gave you. But I will say this. Man, that was awesome. They're just awesome. And Homer, did you say everything you needed to Robert? So praise God. I can tell you this. I've known Homer over 25 years now, going on 30 years. He's a different man than he was even 10 years ago, 5 years ago. He just absolutely the where he's walking at, and he's gotten real quiet in the right ways. He tickles me because you know, he will use it when he addresses it with me. He'll be very anonymous. You know, he'll call me after service. He'll say, "Pastor," I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, everything you preached on today, you know, I haven't told you anything, but people are going to believe I've been talking to you." And I say, Homer, I know. Here's the deal. I will tell you this. I don't read minds, but I pray a lot in the Holy Ghost. When I used to be around Pastor Dave, I used to think, "Oh God, he's gonna know everything I've done." And he didn't read minds either. But I'll tell you, I pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, and he brings up the subject matter where people are at. And he will be the one. And so Homer tickles me like, they're going to think I might be in trouble with them, and I haven't said anything to you about it. So hallelujah. What a wonderful job again tonight. Let's all stand. So Father, we thank you for revival And we thank you for the word that we've heard tonight. It's a powerful word. And we would just want to get into your word more than anything else. We bless those that are watching, and we thank you for the opportunity getting ready for Sunday and everything that you're doing in our midst. Thank you for this word. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this word, Father. We bless everyone now in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.